So my name is Eric Witkowski. Some listeners will be able to probably pronounce it already because I'm originally from Poland, so there are many Polish people, you know, in the last 20 years arrived to Ireland. So I'm living in Ireland for 18 years. So first I landed near Dublin, then was Clare for a while, and ended up in County Kerry, which is... quite a good
You're in Lyrecrompone in Kerry. Tell us about that.
I live in Lyrecrompone, yeah, because first I was based with the business in Castle Island, and my wife's still working in Castle Island office, so and we found a nice house in Lyrecrompone back 10 years ago. So we settled there. A bit of a drive to get to Dingle, but it's a nice drive at the end, you know, with lovely... So we are sitting at the garden of Milton House, old historic house just outside Dingle, with the harbour in front of us. It's a lovely now view because the tide is high, so all lovely water. So we have just family living our Faulkner experience now from Washington D.C. So most of our guests are actually Americans here. You know, Faulkner is very popular.
And the Milton House you were seeing was bought by someone who was from California.
Yeah, Californian man, Irish American, bought this house 10 years ago from Irish family who owned that house for 100 years. This is the house where Robert Mitchum used to live for a year or so while movie Ryan Daughter was filmed. So.
A bit of history behind these walls.
Yes, of course, yeah. So, lovely place, as you can see.
Eric, tell us a bit about...
And we have a bit of sunshine, sorry.
Yes, exactly. The sunshine is the most important part of any outside interview that we ever do. But, Eric, tell us a bit about yourself. So, you moved to Ireland 18 years ago, but what made you come to Ireland?
Really, I had a job arranged in Canada, really, first, you know, British Columbia. But that was cancelled really last minute, and I already gave up my rent apartment in Warsaw, and I was packed up really. So I said I can go anywhere if Canada will not work. My friend was here already 2 months, 2005. That was so the biggest, probably the first big wave of Polish people coming here, and I just completed my degree the year before. So.
And what was your degree in?
I'm educated in forestry.
Oh,
wow. So I have a bachelor in forestry, but it's only my wife is working in forestry in Ireland now, so who came soon after me. You know?
And did you find it hard when you moved over here? Because I imagine the culture is very different.
Actually, not really. You know, Ireland back then, you know, 18 years, 20 years was also different than what we have here now at the moment. You know, both countries were Catholic, you know, with people attending masses and things. You know, rather we didn't find the huge differences, you know, really. I felt very welcomed from the very beginning in Ireland, you know, and you know, travel then and now is not like it used to be. What we hear the stories about Irish people migrating, you know, across the pond, you know, down under, and you were living home and you never knew when you're gonna see the you know, fatherland back again, you know, like 50 years ago, even after Second World War and before that. Now we have internet, Polish TV, you know, satellite TV available, so Skype and, you know, the other chats, you know, online, so you don't feel like that, you know. You're far away from family visiting us quite often, so you know, you can feel almost like at home, yeah.
And Lyrecrompone then, in a sense, I imagine it's a very, you know, rural area as well, so how did you find fitting into a community like that?
Lyrecrompone is fantastic place, you know. It's some people will say it's too quiet, but you know, in Poland, if you choose to work in forestry, you know, would like to work in forestry, you might end up just in the middle of nowhere, really. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't mind to be living in a remote area. You know, it's even better for me. Practicing falconry is not only my work but also a hobby. So plenty of space there to fly the birds, you know, undisturbed. And now, you know, I understand it might not fit everybody, but we really like it, you know. And my wife, we both come in from small village in Poland, so, and we never dreamed about living in the city, like big mm-hmm. city, you know. Mm-hmm. Especially, I worked around Dublin for a while first, so I'm not missing there, you know, especially traffic jams and things, you know. I still, when I hear the radio start talking about the traffic, Dublin, I just change the station because I just, it brings me bad
nightmares.
Memories, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, rather quiet life, you know, suits us best, you know. And the kids also enjoy because two kids we have in the secondary school, one in the primary, and one is still just a toddler, like, so. But they also realize that town life, city life is might not be not so great, you know. Mm-hmm. Especially when you hear stories about drugs and alcohol, you know.
Of course.
Around, so.
And Eric, you did spend some time in, like you said, Dublin, but you also spent some time in Clare. What was that like?
We got the job at Shannon Airport for a while, but then I was a flight dispatcher, quite demanding job. Then it was the end of really Celtic Tiger times, you know. Mm-hmm. So my wife was also there working at check-in, but only for a couple of weeks, really. She got a job then, her job she's at now in Quilcha Forestry. So I was flight dispatcher, so it was me to send the aircrafts on time, you know.
Completely different to the type of flights you do now.
Completely different. So it was often satisfying job, but also stressful often, you know, because it was all on you to have that everything done on time with many people involved around. So
yes,
it's quite challenging. But, you know, this work here is not also a bit similar because we normally have, like when the season starts, it's getting very busy. Today we have 6 sessions. So also, you know, people are coming late, sometimes showing up, and we have back-to-back often falconry experiences here. So also needs a bit of planning and, you know.
Mm-hmm. Attention to detail.
Yeah.
Eric, tell us a bit about how you got into falconry and where did that begin?
Yeah, falconry, I'm doing this for 28 years now.
Wow.
I can't believe. Time is flying, you know. It will be 30 soon, and you know that sounds
have
weird.
To do a celebration.
It sounds weird, and even for myself, like 30 years, you must be very old. Then I started early. Let's say I was 15. I went to forestry college in Poland. We have a bit different education, you know, system. So you have like profiled schools. So that was forestry. That's where I found falconry. I met my wife. Also, so then, you know, was university later, but but I worked a little bit short time in Poland in forestry sector, but only for a year. So, and there were, you know, job cuts that time, you know. So I moved to Warsaw and worked in the office for the mobile company, you know, mobile phone company.
But then, you know, owls and animals in itself. Why so did you decide to do it in that kind of career?
Falconry, as I said, I just encountered that when I was 15. So before that, I was always interested in nature, you know, watching birds, you know, having binoculars and just go out with that searching for wildlife, you know, around. So and I found falconry, you know, when you can create something, some bond with a wild creature at the end, you know, it's something very challenging, but also rewarding.
Mm-hmm. When I'd imagine works. A lot of patience with that.
Oh, patience is first thing, you know, you need in falconry. Otherwise, you will not get anywhere without patience. everybody's different, needs different approach, so there's no like a scheme and you just do this and that and step by step and it's guaranteed that things will work. No. So I'm falconry is my hobby still, and that was for first 10-12 years, and then I started commercial falconry. Still my hobby. One of the reasons I started this business was, you know, like summer season is busy and then winter time is quiet, so I have more time to actually hunt in the season with falcons. So I mostly hunt in snipes with peregrines, you know, that, with my two red setters. That's really challenging branch of falconry, probably the most challenging. So, if something is challenging and you can do it right, it's very very satisfying, you know, very rewarding. There are not many people practicing this branch of falconry because it's so difficult. But if it's all work together, you know. Well, I was really self-training and I was just following other, you know, my colleagues first. When I went to that forestry college, there was like a small club, you know, falconry club with that school. So we just learned one from another because there were very few books that time in Poland. No any like recent books about modern falconry, you know. They were all rather historical. You know, which you couldn't really learn much from that. You know, English books were not available yet or very little. So, and falconry, I'm not sure if you're aware, but this is now recognized by UNESCO as human intangible heritage. You know?
Really?
Yeah, including Ireland. So we are living human heritage, you know, practicing and keep it alive. You know, so it's a big thing. Like, if you realize, let's say, that the Skellig Michael is in the same category in Ireland and a few other sites, you know, which are regarded as, you know, worldwide renewed, you know, sites. So if you add to that falconry and that we actually keep it alive, that's great, you know, feeling also.
Can you remember your first experience of, you know, when you first practiced? How did that go?
Well, I probably can't remember that exactly. You know, in that school, apart from just pure falconry, we were doing lots of rehabilitation of wild birds. You know, so there were wild birds are in general a bit crazy. You know, very. Oh, we have a hawk there.
What's that? What's that one's
Harris
called?
Harris hawk. Actually, Emily's holding our young Tom. My homebred hawk. So he's just gonna fly, I think, a bit.
Would you ever be afraid that they'd fly off and you wouldn't be able to get
them? That's always a bit of a risk. If there is any risky bird, like, we know each bird. We have 25 birds here and we know each of them what we should expect about. But like Harris Hawk, I wouldn't be afraid that he's just going to fly away. It's actually, problem is often the other way. He won't fly away from you even up on a tree. He just want to stay with you and be served with food.
Should he know they're getting fed and
because,
everything?
Yeah, because falconry is based on food and appetite of your birds. Otherwise, you know, they don't really care about us too much when once fed until next day, you know, when they are hungry again.
And when people, you know, come here and visit and they do get that experience where they can come that close to a hawk or an owl, what are they like?
Well, you see, like you asked me what was my first feeling. Maybe I can't remember that, but I see the people's reaction here, which we have daily many people coming and when hawk is landing for the first time on their gloved, you know, fist. So that's great excitement. You know, there is something special about that. You know, when the bird of prey, which is like a symbol of freedom and, you know, majestic strength, you know, also just land on your fist, you know, trust you, and it's a great feeling.
A good experience for children as well, to recognize, you know, how important nature is and how we should preserve it.
Of course, you know, we give lots of information about, you know, birds of prey, their place in the environment, you know, and all the facts about their you know, behavior and place in the environment, you know. So actually, that's Aussie, that's not Tom, that hawk, sorry. Aussie is a bit temperamental bird, so that's why.
Aww.
And Tom would be more noisy.
Well, you can hear some in the background as well. Can you recognize who's who from their squawks?
More or less, yes.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, not all screaming. So if, let's say, it's a springtime, so we have quite a bit of problem with mature males at the moment, because they all thinking it's their own territory here. So they scream if they hear another male, you know, mature. They'll be quite noisy, and sometimes... a chat, we can take you for that.
Do you want to go there now and maybe we can have a talk if they want to talk? So, Eric, who do we have here?
This is Lily, our snowy owl.
She's beautiful.
7 years old, lovely bird. And then Boreas there up, holding his leg up. You know, he's 5 years old. Two snowy owls, beautiful birds.
They look big. Are they heavy?
Quite heavy, about two. She's 2 kilos, he's 1.5.
Oh, wow.
So, boys are smaller always.
Really?
Opposite to poultry, birds of prey. There is male is always smaller than a female. Could be double the weight sometimes of a male.
Interesting.
So you know who rules there in the family. Wow. Here is Jack. Jack is a mature Harris hawk. You've just flown immature version of this creature. So. Pierce had some light markings on the chest, so it means it's a bird in the first year of its life. So, and this is 7 year old Jack. Here is Minnie, little Merlin.
Oh, look at her!
Tiny, tiny bird, lovely. I'll try to get her near. If she's hungry, unless girls fed her, so she won't come near.
She's shy. It's amazing how they can switch their neck back.
Oh,
so
no,
far.
She's moving quick. Merlin is very special. One of three native falcons in Ireland, the smallest one. The other two will be kestrel, which is quite common around. I have kestrel's nest on my nest box next door from my house. Another reason to live in Lair Compound, you know, wildlife and all. And the third is a peregrine falcon, the fastest creature on the planet. So, Minnie, this screeching banshee, as you can hear. Luna is 3 year old barn owl. She's my homebred. We have good number of barn owls around Kerry. Maybe not ideal. There is still potential for more, but I can see them quite often around my site, you know, where I live, because my own barn owls attracting them. So they come.
So
I see them sometimes flying around my house, you know, in the evening.
She's beautiful patterns.
Yeah, Luna, 3 years old, and she's still thinking I'm her daddy.
Aww.
So making that noise, she's calling really for food. But if you know the myth of the banshee, that's where it comes from screeching barn owl.
Oh, interesting.
This is Sirsha, Saker falcon, very large, good looking.
She's beautiful, all right.
She was flown already. Oh, making noise.
She's saying hello.
She looks, she's saying hello, and she looks now calm and tame, but she's not like that, believe me. She's one of the most temperamental creatures here.
This owl is humongous.
This is Gonza.
Wow.
Really, origin name was Gonzo, but we named Gonzo when it was a baby. We didn't know its gender, but appeared it's a girl. So, you know Gonzo from Muppets, that was
the
origin, you know, with the nose so big. Big was hanging out a lot from the face, like, so it's called Gonzo. But it's now we know it's a girl, so we call her Gonza instead.
And her eyes are so incredible.
Eyes are beautiful. Like marbles, very clear, orange color, lovely. Lovely bird.
Oh, she's gorgeous. How much would she weigh? She looks.
She's 2.5 kilos. Jeez. This is Aussie you saw flying with the girls first. So he's now happy. One leg is up, you see? That's how they rest and sleep.
Oh, cool.
They're just changing their leg from time to time.
Like yoga.
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not the right person, actually, to compare that. It's two different fields. This is Pierce, who just landed on your fist a moment ago. So he's here. He's still... he will be flown more. This is Buzz. Buzz is a bar now again, brother of Luna. Oh. Luna had few little dots on the breast, so that means it's a female in Irish population. While male is normally pure white, or very few, very tiny markings on the side of their breast. But he's pure white, 5 years old. And you see, if you see that bar now without any markings, it's a male.
Yeah.
So
big fluffy white chest.
Yeah, very white. Yeah. If he would spread his wings under the wings, there is also all white, you know, area.
Who's Tom, this loud little
Tom,
one?
Tom is still making noise. He's a brother of Pierce, but 3 months younger, so still a baby in his mind. And calling us for food. That's what he does most of the day. But fingers crossed. He's improving already, and we see some progress. Oh, even now, this moment when he's stopped screaming, it wouldn't happen 2 months ago. He was just constant screamer when he saw me. You know, the only thing to actually make him quiet is to just disappear from his view. This is our big star, Orla.
She's huge.
This is Golden Eagle. And Orla, Irish name, means Golden Princess. That's what I was told, actually. You know, I'm not very good in Irish at all. But origin of this name is actually different, because word Orla in Polish would mean one form of eagle word, you know. So that's why I named her. And then later I found that means Golden Princess. So it's
meant to be.
So very good match. Oh, you can see her golden head now. Those feathers, you know, in the direct sun, they shine in the distance like a golden head. Oh, rouse. It means all good, relaxed. She took a bath in the morning. So probably is dry now already. Orla is 13 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
So good age. But she can live much longer, up to 50 years in captivity. Gosh. And as far as I know, there was 32 years old eagle, the oldest recorded in Scotland.
Amazing.
Where is strong population. In Ireland, we only have 3 nests, northwest in Donegal. Glenveagh National Park is where golden eagles are, Irish golden eagles are living. So we have another species, white-tailed seagull, more found southwest, including Kerry. They were reintroduced here and doing better than golden eagles, you know, in Ireland. So, she's very impressive. She's also the smartest of all birds of prey, which doesn't make it easier, you know.
She's one step ahead of everyone.
Handling her and train her. Of course, all birds of prey, hawks, falcons, eagles, they have superior eyesight, you know, up to 9 times better. She's watching something off and over those roofs, you know, what's going on around. Owls, on the other side, their main sense is hearing. So they are sound-based hunters. And their eyesight is different because these are long-sighted creatures and colorblind. And Buzz is trying to sleep now.
See?
No food is offered. So he's like...
Bedtime.
He will be up in a moment. You know, his turn will come. So his turn is to fly at the end of the day. While Luna will be now flying. So still making noise. Little banshee.
Bye-bye. They're so beautiful.
So you see, we have not a lot of space here for more birds, but our guest seems to enjoy very much.
The experience,
you know,
anyway.
Experience, yeah.
Well, thank you
so everyone is welcome to Dingle to see falconry. There are public sessions daily now, springtime once a day, either 12 or 5 p.m. In the peak season, there will be 2 sessions, 12 and 5. There are private sessions available, hawk walks, private experiences. So if you're interested in birds, you're very welcome to visit us.
Well, definitely. Thank you, Eric.